Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read the different trade paperback, spooky trade paperback spooky every month. Single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read spooky comics.
Yeah, vaguely spooky comics.
Yeah.
I like this one.
Things are, they say it's horror, and then we read it, and you're like, that wasn't that scary.
I mean, yeah.
But, you know, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Plastic Man No More. Yeah, Backmatter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. Wolverine game trailer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Coming in fall 2026.
That's pretty cool.
So a mere year away.
Yeah, from the same people that made the Spider-Man games. So you're going to be swinging around New York City.
Nice. And then cutting your own webs.
Yeah, that's how you get away from them. No, it seems interesting. I Wolverine's an interesting character for that because you can't like kill him really. So I wonder what they're gonna do if you like don't play the game very well.
Maybe it's like you get decapitated and you have to wait for like your healing factor kind of thing.
True. Or if it's like maybe like they'll hit you enough to knock you out, and then that's when they put you like back in the Weapon X program or something. You don't want to be there.
Right,
but
it seems like kind of limited with like what you're really able to do. I guess it's like basically just, you know, slash and then, you know, different variations of that. I guess
you don't want to hit X a bunch of times and then sometimes hit B.
Yeah,
I don't know, we'll see. I think it'll,
they have to definitely lean a lot more into like the story aspect, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll feel more like an Uncharted
rather, it definitely won't like be like open world or anything.
No, oh, yeah, I don't think so. So probably just more story-based, which is cool.
Looks bloody.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of characters in it and stuff. There's a Spawn holiday horror series coming out.
Oh, cool.
It's called I Saw Santa.
Whoa.
And it's coming out November 26th, and there's a second issue that comes out in December.
A Spawn holiday horror?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's going to be by Chris Killian and Andrew Sanders, and drawn by Thomas Nate Schlick.
Cool.
I think that's right.
I like that.
The covers are cool.
Is Spawn going to save Christmas?
I don't know. Maybe Spawn is Santa or something.
That would be cool.
I don't know what it is. I saw some preview pages and then like some of the covers. And it looks interesting.
Seems fun.
Yeah, they're like oversized issues. So it might be like a 100-page trade. Maybe for next year.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Danny, you know David Desmulsion?
Yep.
He's going to do a story in Venom, Black, White, and Blood with Philip Tan.
Art. That's cool.
That's going to be sometime in November, I believe. Because the final order cutoff is October. So it'll be either November or December. That's cool. He's still doing comics.
Nice.
That dude's pretty cool.
Webtoon partners with Boom Studios to make like vertical scrollers of some of the Boom books, like the popular ones.
Like existing ones?
Yeah.
That weren't vertical scrollers?
Correct.
They were just regular page
turners?
Yeah. Limited pages?
Yeah.
Finite?
Finite pages?
Finite.
Now that we get unlimited scrollers.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it never ends.
Yeah.
These guys are working day and night.
You never get put out the pages. Yeah, you never get the page turn.
To put out scrolls.
Jump scare.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I wonder if that translates easily, or like what happens when you do a double Probably page not. Spread?
I mean, I guess there's, yeah, hopefully no double page spreads, or maybe they just zoom out or something.
But that seems less incredible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's definitely like big that, monster. Wow. Look how big he is. There's two pages. He takes up two pages. And then in the vertical scroller, it's like,
they're super small. Definitely missing out on like the creative aspects that you can use with unlimited scrollers, but it's maybe just like just to make it more digestible to people on that on webtoons, you know.
You ever read one of those except for the Lore Olympus one that we did?
Yeah, there's like some manga that's like that.
Mm.
But yeah, I read Lore Olympus with the pages, so like,
oh, so you didn't read that?
No
scroller. Why? It was free.
I think, well, maybe I read a little bit of it like that, but no, I have a physical copy of it.
You do?
Yeah,
that's funny.
And then I'm sure I've read something.
Back in my day, the pages were finite. And you had to work within the limitations of a page. That's what you sound like.
Yeah. They're like 8 inches long.
And that was big back in the day.
Yeah. And you had to get a bookmark.
Yeah. I remember reading like some of the X-Men ones that Marvel were putting out, and they were really creative actually. So
like recently?
No. Like when they were first starting to do them. Like Declan Shelby did like a Nightcrawler or story or something like that. Or maybe it was I think it was Wolverine and Nightcrawler was in it. But
I think if there is something like a Lore Olympus or like some story that I can like kind of attach to, like I would enjoy reading something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, because we're also good at scrolling now. You know?
True.
But
make new Doom scrolling just reading.
Yeah, I think it'd have to be like a character that like lends itself to it. If it's like anything big too, or I could see like Scotty Young doing something like that. That works really well.
Yeah.
You know, just with like, because landscapes are like really important and stuff, and mm-hmm. then just like settings. So if he did that sort of thing, that might be hard to like transition to as like an artist too.
Yeah. I don't know how they do it, because you still have pages. Like Declan Shelby still had pages that he sold when he was doing that.
You just tape them top to bottom.
I think that's how you have to think about it.
Essentially.
Yeah. I don't have any other news.
No news.
No news.
No news, Nathan, over here.
No, I had one news. One news, Nathan, so they call me. I think there's like a lot of stuff that they're saving for. I think it's
New York.
New York Comic Con that's this weekend.
Is it this weekend?
Reporting. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So big news next week, potentially. And I'll have more than one news.
Yeah, probably. One news is okay, though. Nathan, what book did we read this week?
We read Black Label Horror Book, Plastic Man No More.
Does it say DC Horror or something?
No, it says Black Label, okay. Which makes sense, kind of, but it's by Christopher Cantwell with artists Alex Linz and Jacob Edgar, colorist Marcello Maioli. Maiolo?
Maiolo?
Maiolo.
Yeah, and letters.
Yeah. And then letterer, Becca Carey. And what did you think about this?
I think this is really cool. I think it's exactly what... I mean, I guess it's not exactly what I thought it'd be, but it's as good as I thought it'd be. You know?
I think it's really good, especially because it's only 4 issues. I don't remember it being 4 issues when I read it.
Yeah.
But I think it's like really interesting. Like they take up some big swings. Mm-hmm. I just think that what they marketed it as is not exactly what they delivered on necessarily.
Sure.
Because it made it, I don't know where I got the idea in my head, but it looked to me like Plastic Man, but in some fucked up body horror situation, which there is like a little bit of that, but there's not enough of it to call it like a Plastic Man body horror book.
I mean, I guess it's kind of the only thing that it is, though.
Like
he's not really fighting bad guys.
I guess, well, he has an internal conflict. He's fighting with himself, Daniel. Sometimes he thinks he's the bad
guy. That's what we want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I think there's crazy shit that happens in this, and there's interesting, like, art style juxtaposition in here, which is fun. And I think they cover a lot over like 4 issues, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, and has great pacing for sure. An excellent amount of Detective Chimp.
Oh my God, Detective Chimp. I was like, at least we got him.
Here we go. Jacob Edgar has like kick ass art. I loved like his pages.
Yeah, he does the Justice League pages.
Yeah, they're very like
cartoony
retro kind of Darwin Cook-esque.
Yeah, it reminds me of like Darwin Cook is a good one. I thought it was more like Doc Shaner mixed with like Bruce Timm.
Because
like a lot of the faces seem like Shaner, but a lot of the kind of build of a lot of the characters seem like they were from like a Bruce Timm superhero show.
And Alex Linz, it kind of reminded me of like a Riley Rossmo.
Yeah.
And so at some points I'm like, that's like a Riley Rossmo face.
You know? It does. Yep, you're right.
Have we read anything by Christopher Cantwell?
Yes. He's the Doom Patrol dude, I'm pretty sure. Like the newest Doom Patrol, I want to say. I could be wrong.
Is he really?
Yeah. And he also did... Was he the guy that did Whatever Happened to Something Oswald's Body? What was that book name?
Regarding the Matter of Oswald's Body.
Yeah. Was that him? League of Comics Geeks has to prove I'm human. Hold on.
Yeah, that was him.
That was him?
Good job.
Okay, I pulled that out. Who did Doom Patrol?
I don't know. He did Gold Goblin, Nathan.
He did do Gold Goblin?
Yeah.
Damn. That's funny.
Maybe he's cooking.
He did some of The Flash, Dawn of DC, The Flash.
He did The Mask, that 2019 series.
Oh, yeah. I picked up the first issue of that.
That's pretty cool.
And then he picked up Thor after Donnie Cates, looks like.
That's pretty cool.
Okay.
What was that Doom Patrol book called? Unstoppable.
Yeah, The Unstoppable Doom Patrol.
That was...
Wait, Chris Burnham? Or is that the artist?
That's the artist. You're not going to get it.
Fuck. What was it?
Dennis Culver?
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's a good book.
This is our second Christopher Cantwell book. And you know what? I'm a Cantwell. I think he can. I think he can do it well. This guy. But anyway, this came out like relatively recently too. So
this last year or something?
Ended this year?
Can't remember.
But started last year, so this is pretty good. But let's get into it. So starts off 20 years ago, Patrick O'Brien and his friend Woozy attempt to rob a jewelry store, and he wants to steal a watch as a romantic gesture to Patrick's wife. But he gets caught in the process, and then we see sort of his life of crime lead up to him now being Plastic Man after he falls into a vat of some chemicals. And he has a kid named Luke, but in the present, Plastic Man is with the Justice League fighting Polaris, and he's hit with a ray gun, which causes his arm to like start melting. Detective Chimp refers him to see the chemist Vera, who thinks Plastic Man is depolymerizing, and she doesn't know if it's because of the ray gun or if that was just eventually always going to happen. And Plastic Man reaches out to his abandoned son, Luke, to break the news and thinks that the same thing could happen to him. So Luke kind of rejects him just for abandoning him as a father, and Plastic Man needs to find a way to create a large nuclear blast as a Hail Mary attempt to save his life and stop the depolymerizing process. So yeah, we talked about the Jacob Edgar art with like a more whimsical Justice League, but I think he does a couple interesting things with this, because whenever there's like times where Plastic Man is trying to talk and the Justice League is like literally talking over him with like the word balloons, and I think that's pretty fun. And then Alex Limbs with an M, is that what it is?
That was an N.
Lins. He does like a pretty good, like sort of grittier sort of part of the story too. So a lot of his pages are darker, which I think works well with this page.
Do you know Luke's like superhero name?
No. I didn't even know he had a son.
Neither did I.
I read like the Gail Simone Plastic Man before this, and I was not super like interested in it.
Oh, really?
But that's like the only Plastic Man I know other than just random team ups that he's been a part of. This is definitely like my favorite thing from him.
Yeah, he's called Offspring.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Whoa. What a bad name. I wonder what that's why they didn't use it here. Was he in the Teen Titans?
That's like a more like grown up picture, I guess. He looks kind of odd. But I guess Mark Waid and Frank Quitely did something with him.
Really?
Yeah, like a one shot maybe.
Interesting.
That was like his first appearance.
But that looked like it was in the Kingdom Come like universe.
Perhaps.
So this could be an older version of Luke.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. But anyway, did you ask me some?
You like seeing Detective Chimp in his story? I like that he's just a part of the Justice League conversations.
Yeah.
Like it's the main Justice Leaguers that you know, and then Detective Chimp is there too.
I like that he wasn't just like in it for like one issue, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's how he like is normally.
Yeah.
Which blows.
But he's a part of all this, which is cool. And right. He's the one that's actually like empathetic to Plastic Man and
being like kind of the second rate Justice League member or whatever.
Yeah. We see Plastic Man's hand get like melted into like a drain in the bathtub, but then it like forms its own sentience almost. And so his hand's just kind of like walking around. And I like that.
That's awesome.
I think it's a funny little subplot that we see.
I don't like this panel where like his like goopiness.
Yeah.
Like,
separates makes the panels. I was like,
I'm like, it's yucky.
Yeah. It is a bit yucky, but that's like part of the thing. Like I feel like every issue has like a weird deformed Plastic Man part of it, but I feel like it could have been more, because he'll like kind of lock in and become just regular Plastic Man for a bit, Or like after his hand melts off, he puts like a colostomy bag or something on there. Or at least that's what he calls it.
So
I wish it was just kind of gradual. Because like when Mr. Fantastic isn't feeling great, he looks fucked up.
Yeah.
And I figured it'd be more of that all the time. But I guess I can understand why.
But this isn't like... Like Reed gets like kind of loose, but not like deteriorating.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
Like this is definitely like the best issue of that. Or like the best... example of like the body horror thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then issue 4, it's pretty good too.
Yeah, it gets there.
But I thought at one point his leg would fall off or some shit and like just it would progress.
Yeah. But... Which it, like, to be fair, it does. There's like issues where like there's parts of him just in buckets.
Mm-hmm.
So it does get to that point. But I just thought it'd look a little bit different.
Going back to his hand's like homeless, like he gets wrapped up in a newspaper.
It's such a funny like B plot of this book.
Yeah,
I'm interested in. There's multiple splash pages in a row that are just like talking heads, and I think it's a pretty bold approach to like emphasize Plastic Man and Luke's relationship.
They did that a lot in Batman and the Max. Like, there'd be two.
Oh,
like,
really?
It'd be just like this, like the two heads looking at each other, and then yeah. Just like a shit ton of dialogue.
Because it's like. They could have just made that like a normal page, but because it's like this, I'm like, oh, what are we trying to communicate here? Like, I think about it like a little bit more.
That they didn't want to,
I guess,
draw the same panels over and over?
I mean, probably that's the reason.
I think I prefer just like, you know, like 8 panels just going back and forth between the characters, but not necessarily like the same scene. Sometimes, like, I'll see conversations in comics, and it'll be, like, it'll be looking at you, but, like, 4 different angles.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this was just, like, either they weren't fucking around or just, like, didn't have time or something.
Yeah, maybe. So, issue 2. So, convinced that he needs a nuclear explosion to save his life, Plastic Man decides to link up with old crime partner Woozy to kidnap uranium from the Metal Men, who is being held hostage by a guy named Dr. No Face. And Vera doesn't think that the explosion will even really work, but decides to help anyway when she remembers that her own daughter that died. And then Plastic Man gets the rest of the Metal Men to save uranium, but when Woozy tries to subdue the Metal Men with a big magnet, which doesn't work because they're not all actually magnetic, and that's not how metals work, they accidentally collapse the platform that they are on, and the Metal Men fall into a vat of lava, which kills them. And I think that's just a funny bit altogether, that they're like, we'll just get a big magnet, and then they'll be stuck, and we'll be good, and we'll run.
Yeah.
But only, like, one of them's magnetic, because
right.
I don't know which ones aren't magnetic, but, like, gold, I don't think, is magnetic.
I know stainless steel is not magnetic.
Yeah. So, yeah, steel, I think, is one of them, isn't it? Or lead?
Or tin? I thought lead was.
Lead.
Because, like...
One of them was magnetic, but the other ones didn't work, so...
Yeah. I didn't expect the Metal Men to be in this.
Isn't that fun?
That's kind of like a DC blind spot for us.
Yeah.
I think.
Metal Men, they pop up like a lot, I feel
like. You know, I think I bought like a Metal Men number one a couple years ago. I don't remember who was writing it or anything.
Yeah, I think there's some definitive run with Metal Men. I mean, it's probably just like Mark Waid or something. But
there's a new 52 run, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that always looked interesting.
Yeah.
Have they popped up in something that we've read?
Mm-hmm. Like New Frontier. They were in it quite a bit.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Because they went to like an Epstein Island type deal.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were a big part of World's Finest for a story arc, I believe. Which was the Mark Waid, Dan Mora book.
I guess they had a Rebirth maxi series.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's that? Who's on that?
Dan DiDio.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Just what
that they, was the one he wanted to
just
do?
Just what they needed.
He was like head of DC and he's like, I want to do Metal Men.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, did I pick that up, dude?
Do you have it?
I don't think so. It doesn't look like the cover.
I thought Dan DiDio only did like the Sideways book.
He did a couple things that he shouldn't have. Anyway, I'm not going to look into
Dan
DiDio, but...
We should read every Dan DiDio book and see which one's the best one.
Oh, Dan DiDio month?
Dan DiDio month.
Oh, my God.
The thing nobody asked for.
Dude, if I ever asked for a Dan DiDio month, that's... check on me. Anyway.
I think a good moment is when Plastic Man's talking to, like, the cartoony Justice League, and then the next page, he, like, sneezes, and it goes to the Alex Lynn's art.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to Justice League. And I was like... That's such a funny.
I don't know if I actually noticed that. I don't think I was like consciously like.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he's just, I mean, I was pretty locked into like the cartoony theme, and then he sneezes and it looks gross. And he sneezes like part of his suit all over the Justice League table, and he calls it like a Jackson Pollock impression.
Yeah.
And I thought that was good.
And then it was just like, ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
It's so funny. There's like a bit of a jump scare if you're a panel reader. Because he'll be, like, talking to this, like, scientist lady.
Yeah.
And then it'll just be, like, him.
Oh,
all,
my God.
All, like, SpongeBob close-up.
Yeah, the close-ups where he's, like, all bumpy and shit.
Yeah. He's all, like, he's all mushy.
Yeah, he's not looking too good.
Yeah, it looks like old beef or something.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think, like, the... You know, I guess that is part of the body horror, is just seeing how gross he's becoming. Because he's not supposed to look like that. But... The big moment here was him sneezing, so I just think that's interesting.
Dr. No Face just looks like a thump-thump.
A thump-thump?
Yeah.
Is that the Spy Kids people?
Yeah.
You know, I thought he was just the Question at first before I realized that was Dr. No Face.
A hatless Question.
Yeah. But that, I guess that's the big difference.
Well, the Question has hair, too.
Bald the Question.
Bald, hatless the Question. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know what this guy's deal is.
I don't know if I'm...
He, like, lost a face, and I think he wants somebody's face.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why he would have uranium, so who knows? Were you surprised when the Metal Men killed, like, for real? I mean, you didn't know it for sure in this issue, but...
Well, they kept saying that they can, like, regenerate as long as, like, a little bit of them, like, survives, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I'm like... Oh, this is going to come back and it'll be fine, you know?
Yeah.
But then it like doesn't.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. But also like when you don't like become attached to like a character, you don't really care when they all die.
Yeah, true.
But I definitely didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude. Wasn't some of the Metal Men in 52?
Yeah.
Because the doctor or whatever. Was
Dr.
Like,
Magnus.
Magnus was working on one of them.
Was I thinking of 52, not New Frontier?
52. They might have been New Frontier, but I don't
remember. I think you're right, though. No, it was definitely 52.
Yeah.
Because then they had, like, who's that big-headed dude that was also on the island? That wasn't Hector Hammond, was it? The, like, Green Lantern villain? I don't know. There's a bunch of weird...
I don't know.
There's, like, a bunch of weird villains that would go to, like, that island. And, yeah, it was 52. You're right.
Right. Anyway. Because I remember the dude with, like, the pointy nose. That was one of them.
Yeah, they have specific designs, which is weird.
I mean, I think I'd prefer that, not just, like, being, like, a different color.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Which one has the pointy nose?
The red one.
The red one does?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is that Mercury?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
So there's gold, platinum, uranium, mercury, and tin, right? And iron?
I don't know.
Do you know all the metals?
No.
All right. Never mind then.
Oh, no.
They're all dead now. So it doesn't even matter.
How do they get assigned colors, you know?
I think they're based off just what the metals look like in their solid form. But I don't know if uranium...
Red?
Yeah. That's that shit in the temperature.
Is uranium purple?
That's what I don't know. That's the only one that we don't know yet. Science doesn't know. Well, let me look up solid uranium.
Who's this blue guy?
That's platinum.
Platinum's blue?
Yeah.
That platinum is like...
Silver?
Chrome?
No. My platinum rank in Valorant is like a blue color.
Stop lying to me.
What? You don't think I'm platinum?
I don't think platinum is blue.
Well,
you're just gaslighting me.
No, I'm typing in solid uranium color. Silver gray. So they're lying to us about uranium. So now I don't know what to believe.
I mean, I guess them being color coordinated or color coded is better than just being a bunch of different shades of gray, because that'd be kind of boring. You know, got to make them fun.
Yeah.
It's definitely like a retro team.
Platinum's definitely like silvery.
Because they have like Metal Men Archives collections.
What?
You know those archive books?
Yeah.
That look like that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That would be so hard to get through, I feel like.
That'd be terrible.
That would be the oldest of old comics.
At least they stick to the designs, though. Yeah. That's pretty neat. 1962, Nathan.
Dude. I should just get really into
Metal Men. All the pictures of the writers and stuff are in black and white.
Oh my god. Let's get really into Metal Men and then know everything about them. Dude, and whenever they make a live action appearance, we'll be the guys.
Should we be like the biggest Metal Men fans?
Yeah. I think so.
Oh shit. Okay, so from 1963 until 1978, there were 56 issues of Metal Men.
That's not a lot.
That seems like more than I'd ever wanted.
1963 to what? 72? 78. Dude, yeah. That's like...
So 12 years.
12 years, and they average like 6 issues? 5 issues? That's not bad.
Yeah, halftime, dude.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest run. There's a couple one-shots, and then some maxi series and stuff. So
interesting. So if you just get that...
And if then, I like got on a roll, I can knock it all out in like a few months, you know, like if I read like one a day kind of thing.
Dude, it would probably be so boring.
Because that's shorter than like The Boys, you know?
That's true.
I just connect everything to The Boys. I'm like,
that's your favorite reference.
Is this longer or shorter than The Boys? My favorite
reference is like Chew, because that was like 60 issues, which is like probably the longest thing I've read all the way through.
Yeah, this is more like Saga.
Oh, yeah, never mind. I've read Saga.
Saga size.
Up to.
That's the longest thing you've read?
I think so.
Dude, you're such a noob.
What do you mean?
Read Invincible.
I have been thinking about that. Can I borrow your Invincibles?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
144 issues, baby.
Ah, so many, dude.
But it's a fucking treat.
I'll just watch the TV show.
Oh, my God. Dude, no. The book.
No, I know the book is kick-ass.
So much better.
And I know there's a lot of new, like, fun shit in there. Yeah, I'll probably end up doing that. I've been thinking about rereading Chew as well, but
yeah, you got your
my big
omnibus
signed.
Yeah,
with a little Poyo sketch, I think.
Mm.
Issue 3, Daniel. Okay, so Uranium is now in a holding cell with Vera, and Plastic Man has to explain to the Justice League that the Metal Men are dead. Detective Chimp starts his own investigation on the Metal Men, and while he's doing that, Plastic Man goes to talk to Luke and tells him that he needs help getting Dr. No Face, but he actually leads Luke into a trap where they tie him up so that he can't deny the depolymerization like treatment, which is kind of fucked. And as they're about to start, Detective Chimp shows up with proof that Plastic Man's story for how the Metal Men died is wrong and connects him to the potential murder of them. But then Dr. No Face shows up and he blowtorches Detective Chimp and kills him. And then they drop his body in the water off the dock, and they start to head to the blast zone.
So a Detective Chimp dies, bad book?
100%, dude.
This is the most awful thing I've ever seen.
I was like, he fucking died?
He burned alive?
He got burned alive. They killed Detective Chimp. Yeah, what the fuck? Has he ever died in comics history ever?
I don't think
probably
so.
Probably not, right?
Maybe in Justice League Dark.
Maybe like deceased. There's a zombie Detective Chimp.
Ah, I don't want to see that.
But yeah, that was crazy. I did not like that they killed Detective Chimp.
Yeah.
He did not deserve that.
I mean,
but I do love, these fucking two pages of Detective Chimp detectiving all around the warehouse. And yeah. Oh my God, this page.
Where's the miniseries?
Oh, dude. We need to read one. There's something out there, I'm sure.
We got to make it, I guess.
Yeah.
This one's got a good body horror page.
That one's a great page. And yeah. It's like the best, I think, use of it so far. Because
like it's almost like he falls apart when he's distraught.
Yeah. You know? I mean, those are always like the best panels of every issue. And so I just wish that we had like a little bit more other than just like bumpy face. But
yeah,
it is what it is. We still get, like a small progression of the sentient Plastic Man hand storyline, which is funny. He regrew some of the Plastic Man goggles.
And yeah.
He fights off some rats. So that's fun.
I was reading this to Lucas, and I read this panel between him and Vera. I was like, it's quite a tricky book to read, you know, out loud.
Okay.
And it was like, I'm out of my depth, I must confess. I have no idea how to refine that kind of sentient bioreactive isotope, let alone build the mechanism needed to detonate it in the way that we need to in order to rebuild your molecular structure. He's like, sorry, I lost you after I confess.
Dude, that was pretty good.
That made me like actually chuckle because like I really wasn't expecting it. I'm not like used to like where he has quips, you know? And yeah. So when, and then after like I was confusing myself reading it out loud.
And you're like, wait, hold on. Is depolymerization?
Yeah.
That's hard. Yeah. Or they're saying like, cornstarch, which acts as a polymer paralytic, deprives the cells of elasticity. And like just a couple, you know, $3 words in there.
You ever use cornstarch to cook?
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. I'm new to that. I made that like this year. So I'm like, oh, I get this what this year? Is doing. Yeah. I made some sauce.
Yeah. That's used for thickening up sauces typically is what I use it for.
I didn't know that.
Anyway. There's some like cooking or baking things, but baking is a fucking science that I don't understand.
You just gotta follow the directions.
I know, I do, but some people are like, I don't know.
Dude, fucking, you ever watch British Bake Show or whatever?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's like a science
to it. They just know that shit off the dome. Well, it's crazy.
Yeah, they know like to make cookie. I mean, cookies is a pretty basic example. But like, they probably know how to make like macaroons off the dome.
Yeah.
I watched this show. It was like an online show called Master Baker, and they get people that don't know anything about baking. And then a professional baker is like, make a macaroon or like some weird like pastry, and they have to just guess, and they get like one opportunity to ask a question, and then it's just, you know, and they get professional judges and stuff to taste them. It's pretty funny. But it seems like so fucking stressful.
You know, I think I need shows where like things can go well for a little, you know.
Yeah.
That is complete disaster.
It's like, it's all disaster, that show.
That's on YouTube?
But it's, yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
And fucking, what was I going to say? Oh, and when like the actual baker person like tastes part of it, they're like, oh, you needed more salt for this to make it taste sweeter. Or like, they'll say shit like that. And I'm like, that's crazy. There's like an actual, it feels like chemistry pretty much.
How's that work?
Yeah. That's interesting.
So the hand,
it's alive.
It's like eating rats?
I think the rats were attacking the hand and he had to survive.
No, he's going after these rats to survive.
Oh, yeah. He's like choking him.
Yeah. Dude. And then you see blood.
The best panels are in this issue is like, he's like, little like it's such a dramatic close up on his goggles.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is killing those fuckers, isn't he? So is he eating the rats?
Probably.
That's awesome.
But the Plastic Man, he had to trap his son. And I really thought he was like
going with him to stop Dr. No Face.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, he needs help.
Yeah.
You know? And then this is the twist. He twisted us.
Yeah. He trapped his own son and forced a super experimental procedure onto him. Is essentially his plan. And I'm like, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
We see some Plastic Man buckets, I assume.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, he's really melting. And then issue 4. So Luke and Plastic Man debate if they should even go through with the nuclear treatment. Says it's like pretty risky. Plastic Man's face starts to melt, so they put it in a canister. Luke decides that he wants to do it with him in the end. And so Plastic Man, who's now completely devolved to a bucket that Luke carries, they're in like the little blast chamber thing, and they reminisce about the happy times taking them to the fair. And then Plastic Man convinces Luke to not go through with the explosion treatment since it's like pretty theoretical anyway. And Luke runs from the blast right as it goes off with Plastic Man in it. Later, Luke reports that Plastic Man is dead to the Justice League and denies a spot on their roster when they offer it to him. And he starts routine checks with Vera to check his stability. But Luke robs a jewelry store to get his mom the watch that she always wanted. And as it ends, we see the little Plastic Man hand in the background, which is
in the rain,
in the rain, and he's looking out in the back. It's like when you have a funeral and there's like a shadowy figure, except it's like this goofy ass hand version. Like, this is my favorite panel of the whole fucking thing. It's like this like mini hand version of him walking up, and I'm like,
the Plastic Man hand returns,
dude. You know? Yeah, Plastic Man no more. More like Plastic Man, there's a little bit left. But it's crazy that either of them thought it was a good idea in the first place to just blow themselves up and hope for the best.
I think they had a shot.
Yeah. I mean, I know it was like supposed to be a Hail Mary, but even still.
I like the panel where his like head's melting off.
Oh my God.
That's so freaky.
Good. Yeah. That one's really good. And then just the panel of him like in the bucket, but he's able to like, he's like Calcifer. Like,
reach up.
Yeah. Or something where he's able to like come up and like form himself a little bit.
Calcifer.
That's from Howl's Moving Castle.
Okay.
You probably haven't seen it.
I have seen it. I like knew that's what you're talking about for some reason, but I just wanted you to clarify.
Yep.
To show how much of a weeb you are.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a weeb. What else was gonna... Oh, I was a little conflicted about Luke robbing the jewelry store to get the mom that watch that he was trying to steal in the beginning. Because it's I was like
stupid his level.
I don't know if it's supposed to be like he's following in his dad's footsteps in stupid news level, or if it's like
probably just one time.
Maybe
thing.
He recognizes that sometimes it's okay to do bad things for like the right reasons, because his mom was like really happy with it.
It's still illegal,
right?
But I like to think
of it that like he's like still a pretty good guy despite his dad being like a criminal.
And, it's
like,
just kind of like the whole book. He's like, oh, I'm not like you. You're not my dad, kind of thing. And then and like,
at the end,
he
it's like,
does like a dad thing or like his dad thing,
right? But I don't think it's him going down a bad path. It doesn't seem like that, at least.
No. So. I didn't expect Robin to be in this as much as he was.
Yeah, he's in this like quite a bit. I didn't ever mention him at all because it's basically him being like, you don't have to deal with this, Luke, the whole time. And then he just leaves.
Don't do that or whatever.
I don't. Which Robin is it? Is it?
I think it's Tim Drake.
Tim Drake. That's what I figured.
Because I guess he's in the Titans still.
I think that's the one in the Titans.
It's probably pretty easy to differentiate him nowadays.
I think he's the only one with the green shoulder pad things.
Oh, really?
I could have just made that up. I don't know.
It's only like the pants that give it away, isn't it? Is he in this issue or last issue?
He's in.
Oh, no.
Every issue.
Yeah, the shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah. Best body horror panel is this one. His head is melting off.
Probably.
And I think it's funny if they had a canister ready to like throw his head into.
Yeah. Too bad the nuke didn't work.
Nope.
Well, they had him in there. Because I guess it would have also bettered his chances if there was like enough of them in there, I guess, to like for the fusion reaction or whatever.
Oh, I didn't catch that part.
In a way, it was like he was kind of using his son to also help him survive.
Yeah.
But he was framing as if he was helping.
But he wanted to be like, I want to make sure this doesn't happen to you kind of deal.
Right.
But yeah, I think there's a little bit of initially at first being like, I don't want to die. So I got to get my son to either die with me or help save me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Amazing covers. We got.
Oh, yeah. We saw these like before. Like,
dude, the book I saw came this out. Mike Allred one and I'm like, I don't care what this book's about.
You know,
it's not even a good representation of what the book is trying to sell. It's just Mike Allred and I'm a sucker.
It makes me a little uncomfy for some reason.
Yeah. There's a Chris Samnee one, which I think looks a little bit strange because of the colorist.
It's very like Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Looking,
well,
which
like
is cool.
I was looking at the art itself and I'm like, that's how he draws. But why does it look so weird? And I think the color adds like a little bit of dimension to his art where I'm not used to seeing that.
Yeah. Maybe like the skin is like blended a little bit too much.
Or like the stretchy parts feel cylindrical. And I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But we got a Tyler Boss cover, which is pretty sweet.
Kick ass.
He's so good. Riley Rossmo does a great one.
Yeah.
I never saw this.
That one fits really well for this.
Yeah. I could see him like just being on this book in general.
Right.
I never saw this Martin Morazzo and Chris O'Halloran one, but that one's pretty sweet too.
I remember seeing it, yeah.
Yeah. And then who the hell is this Alex Ekman Lon guy?
Ah, he's fucking cool though.
He looks like he would have done like a Marvel Zombies
type shit.
But he looks great. And we get some cover sketches and character designs from Jacob Edgar, which is pretty fun. And that's it. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
I'd give it I guess there's a ice cream flavor called banana, you know, for Detective Chimp.
Ooh, okay.
And having like a waffle cone.
Nice.
But you like let it melt like halfway and then you start eating it. So you have to like kind of lick it off your hands.
Okay. Because it gets messy.
It gets very messy and very melty.
I would do a bubblegum ice cream. Don't they have that?
Yeah.
Because bubblegum gets stretchy when you stretch it.
Okay. I thought that was like
maybe a, with some Hubba Bubba.
I thought that was like a bad rating for us because it's such a it's like a gross flavor, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't normally pick up Plastic Man stuff, so
but you I'll would give, if I'll there's more of it.
I would,
you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of a sucker for him now. I think I just love that he was a criminal turned into a hero, but he kind of sucks at both. And I really like the aspects of this book where they just view him as a joke. And so they never really take him seriously.
Yeah, and you see that like, kind of his point of view.
Yeah.
Like, even when he's trying to be serious, yeah. You know?
So there's aspects of that.
He's
that
always good, really like, when he's in Justice League things.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's, like, a Justice League Unlimited episode with him or mm-hmm. whatever. And so you always, like, kind of want more, but there's not always more, mm-hmm. you know?
Anyway. Okay, I would give it maybe then one of those Tootsie Pops that have the bubble gum on the inside.
Okay.
Those are pretty good. I fuck with those sometimes.
Hmm.
Except... The bubble gum actually blow lasts. Pop? Yeah, there. Thank you. Blow pop.
Yeah, Tootsie Pop has like the caramel chocolate thing. Or
except no. In this blow pop, the bubble gum flavor lasts for a long time. It's pretty good.
Yeah, not like 2 minutes.
Not just like 2 seconds. That's what I would rate.
High quality blow pop. Then
yes.
What do you think, League of Comic Geeks?
Ooh, of course.
Rated this book.
This is an interesting one.
Out of 5.
Because I don't know if everybody else had the preconceived notion that this is like a horror book, like I did. Which might affect the rating.
So I assume that they had more body horror in it. What is different?
Nothing.
But it's just a little bit more visually, goopy panels.
That's kind of what
stuff?
I was expecting, but I think that's just me. So I would say people rated this a 3.8.
Okay, you got a 4.2.
Ooh,
very
okay.
Positive.
Good. That's I think a valid rating for
on
it.
On the hardcover or whatever.
Sweet. Very good.
So yeah, I think it seems like people liked it.
Sweet. Yeah, I mean, it deserves that level of appreciation, I think.
Let's get into the pull list. Colin,
shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
We got Batman number 2.
Yes, sir.
Ultimate X-Men number 20.
Yep. I was caught up on that. I think I'm up to like 17 or 18. I'm not anymore.
Nice. And then Spider-Man Noir number 1.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who's on that again? Pop quiz?
Eric Larson.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Is that real?
When we got the news.
Savage Dragon guy?
Yeah. When we got the news, I was like, you're never going to fucking guess who's writing this.
You know, you're right. I do remember that conversation.
I guess he's done Spider-Man Noir before.
Oh, cool.
Or maybe he's done Spider-Man before. So it's like not that weird, you know?
Yeah, he did some Spider-Man, I think. That's cool.
Did you get the chance to read anything this week?
I sure did.
Other than our book,
yeah.
Wow.
I know I started this yesterday when I texted you, what book are you reading this week?
Yesterday, like the day before
yesterday,
recording.
But I knew I had time. I was making time for it. And this is only 4 issues, so it wasn't that.
But what if it was dense?
If it was dense, I'd be fucked. But it wasn't. I read Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, Rite of Passage number 2.
Rite of Spring.
It's not Rite of Passage.
No, why would it be Rite of Passage?
I don't know. Maybe he's training a new killer.
Trees and spring. It's a very...
There. It's good. I think I had like kind of an epiphany on why they're all just anthropomorphic animals, but there's also like bears.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's supposed to be like, we're all animals, but why do we view some animals as like not animals? Isn't that something to think about? Kind of deal. So that's what I was thinking. Anyway, I like this book a lot.
Did you read this high? Or
Dude, I felt like it. No, I just really like it. I mean, this issue is kind of like seeing why Sam would message the person to come to Woodbrook.
Yeah,
to hunt down at. Basically her. But it's pretty cool. But I like that book a lot. I read Batman number 1.
Mm.
And it's great.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think Jorge Jimenez is like near perfect for Batman.
Yeah.
He's just so good. Mm-hmm. And like brighter Batman. I love the blue and gray Batman.
Oh, it's the best.
I think he just nails that.
Yeah. And it's like not cheesy.
Yeah, it's not. And like the Killer Croc stuff in this is really cool. And you get to see Batman be nice. You know what I mean? And yeah. I love when Batman's nice.
No fights.
No fights, really. Which is, yeah, that is interesting. I was like pretty entertained the whole time, but it was like no fights. And it was Batman at first being like, people don't change. And then at the end, he's like, maybe this guy does want
to. I was really fucking amped to see him use those like electric gauntlet things.
I know. He's got a lot of cool gadgets.
Yeah, good gadgets.
Good gadgets. He's got like little sunglass thing or like visors.
Yeah.
So when he flies in the air, he's going to get bugs in his eyes, I assume. There's like a little scanner on his thumb, like scan what kind of butterfly he's holding at the time.
So stupid.
I know. And I was like, this is Matt very specific.
Matt Fraction loves gadgets.
Gadgets are great. That's part of what makes Batman fun. Or like he saved two like women in the park and then he just has his Batmobile like protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's cool too. So I enjoy it. Excited for issue two. I didn't write it down, so I'm having a hard time remembering, but I read the Batman-Deadpool crossover, Marvel-DC crossover.
It's Deadpool-Batman, Nathan.
Deadpool-Batman, whatever. Did you read that?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting that the stories were like a full comic and then like half a comic and then just like a bunch of three-pagers.
Yeah, it was like...
Or a couple
of like... Was it like 8-pagers? It was like...
There were some that were 3 pages, like the Green Lantern Rocket Raccoon one. I was like, this wasn't anything. You know what I mean?
And I thought one was like a 1-pager, honestly.
The Frank Miller one was like 3 pages. And that was also like nothing.
And a lot of silhouette.
A lot of silhouette.
It's just kind of like commissions almost.
Yeah, it feels like it. So I don't know what.
I'd want fucking a whole issue, you know, of all of those.
Yeah, I think so. I figure it out. Those are like pretty interesting concepts, like the Wonder Woman Cap one. I mean, you get a good chunk of that story.
Yeah.
I see why
Chip Zdarsky wanted them to kiss, you know?
Dude, I wanted them to kiss. Because
I'm like, I was feeling it.
I was too. I was like, there's something between them.
I'm like, did he psych us out?
Because I think, in my head, I'm like, he's like basically just Steve Trevor. So maybe they do kiss. But they don't kiss. So that knocks off a point. But there's like some fun ones in there. Like the Daredevil Green Arrow one have like an interesting dynamic, but it doesn't really get explained or explored too much, I guess.
Yeah.
And then there's an amalgam one at the end.
Right.
Which was like a Lobo Wolverine, I think.
Logo.
Which is Logo. And I don't know where they got the G from, but.
Logan.
Oh, good job. I didn't catch that.
I would have pivoted because but I don't was... like that final name, you know?
But yeah.
It's like.
What do you like? Wolo better?
A little.
Wolvo?
Wolo.
Wolo.
Or Wobo?
Wolbo.
Wobo.
I can see why they struggled with this. But there's like
just like not Lobo. Who gives a fuck about Lobo?
There's like a dark side Thanos mix in there.
Oh, I thought there was just like multiple, you know, space guys, you know?
Well, there was one that was like Ultron mixed with something and I couldn't really figure out what. Maybe like a Nihilus. But those are both Marvel, so I don't know. I didn't know what they were going for with that. But it was definitely like a Thanos dark side.
Yeah.
Because he had like a Thanos helicopter that he called something, but it was like clearly dark side Thanos mix.
Did you like the Deadpool Batman one?
Yeah, it was great. I liked seeing Capullo back on Batman, but mainly just to see his Joker, because I think he is a very interesting Joker.
Super gay. Always slick as fuck.
Yeah, he is. Very slicked back.
I'm like, I don't think Joker would sit still for a fade like that.
Yeah. I liked that. Like, some of the dialogue, I was like, whatever. And, like, the story itself.
I think the ideas are pretty good.
The ideas, I think, were good. Because, like, seeing Deadpool pumped with, like, the Joker toxin thing.
Yeah.
And seeing him, like...
It actually, like,
smile.
Made him focus.
Yeah. I thought that was good. So, yeah, there's some fun ideas in there. So, I'm excited to see the next one. Because I think is Grant Morrison and Dan Mora are going to be on the next Deadpool Batman one.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
And then, I don't know if they've announced, like, all the little... All the other pages or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It comes out like this month, right?
November.
Oh, okay.
I think. It's like, if you're going to do this, why like waste time with like a 3-pager, you know?
That's what I was saying.
Especially getting like the talent on it.
Like, just make it like a full, like 4 one-shots or something. I don't know if people would be annoyed by that.
Or like 8 one-shots. People buy the one-shots.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
You know, if you're not going to do a trade, then do just a bunch of fucking one-shots.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be collected as like a new thing. Yeah. And then, you know, because like, if it's like 8 pages or less, it's like hardly anything.
Right.
You know, and so...
Like the only 3-pager I feel like worked was the Crypto Jeff Landshark one.
That they're playing tennis.
I know, whatever. But it was like they're having fun. So I can understand why you don't need 8 pages for that necessarily.
But if she had more pages, it would have been a better story.
Oh, 100%.
You know, and so don't know. I thought it was a dumb decision, personally. I mean, maybe the talent didn't have the time to do all those more pages, you know? Mm-hmm. But
I'm sure that they are like doing as much as they possibly can.
Like, they didn't... If this sort of thing, like a crossover, doesn't happen in the last, like, 30 years...
Yeah.
Then, like, you know, go big with it.
Yeah,
you
know? I agree. 100%.
If you're not going to do, like, a...
Because the miniseries or something. One that you have, that's like a full story of like why they crossed over.
There's and like stuff, a versus right? one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then some other shit.
I think that was everything I read.
I read Deadpool Batman. I read Skinbreaker, which I gave to Yo.
Yep. I'm going to check this out.
David Finch is a god.
He does rule.
He's absolutely bananas. What's
he been on? Has he been on that Geoff Johns stuff? Is that David Finch?
Oh, I don't know if he has. Last thing I remember is Batman.
I think he was on Geiger. Was that him?
I think that's Frank. Gary Frank.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm sure he's done stuff.
I think it was a different Ghost World or whatever his thing was. But yeah, I'm excited for this.
No, Ghost World is... Dan Klaus.
What's the ghost thing that Geoff Johns has? It's like an imprint. Ghost Machine?
Ghost Machine.
I think David Finch is some on that. But yeah, I'm excited for this either way. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I was surprised like how like easy it was to follow. I thought that was going to be an issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's done really well. It doesn't feel like typical Kirkman stuff, which I thought is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he definitely writes something that works for Finch, you know?
That's cool.
So that was cool to see. I have to see, like, how my stack is, like, when number two comes out, just because I'm not sure how long this is supposed to be, but...
Mm-hmm. I also read Undead Iron Fist.
Oh, yeah? Was that any good?
I don't really know what's going on, but it was pretty cool.
That's all that matters.
I think, like, just seeing Iron Fist stuff is just fun for me. But I think we're not supposed to know, like, why, like, what's going on necessarily. So, there's, like, parts where, like, Danny Rand is in New York, and he's, like, fighting demons, and he punches them so hard that the demons go, like, back to hell. Nice. Or like the demons possess people and he punches the people really hard so that the demons go back to hell. Or sometimes he'll like smash the floor pretty hard. And that stuff's cool. But because he's punching people in the street, like Miles Morales shows up and he has to fight him for a bit. And I'm like, this is fun. But there's also at the same time a storyline of just Danny Rand in hell or the underworld or whatever. And he's just climbing a big mountain and he fights like a dragon demon. But those are going on at like the same time. So I don't really know how those are connected if they're supposed to be. I assume they are. Hmm. I think that I'm interested either way. But art was really fun and it's interesting to see him fight demons. Oh, and then at the end, I don't know how it's gonna be like received, but I say that as if there's like a bunch of Iron Fist fans that care. But in Matt Fraction in Ed Brubaker in David Aja's run
Immortal
Iron Fist. There's like a book of the Iron Fist and it like teaches you how to be an Iron Fist and what being an Iron Fist is about or whatever. And there's a big Mortal Kombat style tournament and all the Immortal Fist fight or whatever. At the end of this, Danny Rand meets with Orson Randall, which is the Iron Fist before him. And Orson's like, you know, that book of the Iron Fist, it's all lies. And that's how the book ended. And I'm like, seems a little cheap. That like that pretty
it should have been like Fat Cobra has it.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. And I would be like, fuck yeah, let's go. But I was just like, okay, we'll see what he means by that though. But like that's a pretty defining run of that character. So to just be like having the literal last line of dialogue being like, it's all lies. it's a bold approach. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, maybe it's a fake out or something.
It could be a fake out.
So it seems like David Finch has just been doing covers.
Really?
Since Batman, essentially. Mm,
good on him. He's coasting.
Yeah, dude.
Until this.
Just like, you know, get paid for a nice little cover. And then
yeah, he's good at a cover.
Apparently, so. he's been working on that for like a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Whenever he's not doing covers?
I think someone said like, I think in the letters it said like 8 years or something.
Damn.
Which seems crazy. But then I think it's only like 4 issues. So I'm like.
8 years? 2 years an issue.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I guess if you have to fit that in, but it's like, it's not like he's been working on it every day for 8 years, you know?
Yeah. Interesting.
Or maybe there's a lot of issues, but only four are like in Comic Geeks, you know?
Yeah.
I read Immortal Legend Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. I gave it a shot. I thought it was like a manga-esque Batman kind of thing. I guess it's a little like that.
Did you read it like regular? Or I guess...
I read it backwards. It's supposed to be the issue. No, like I read it and it's like a Elseworlds kind of thing. And Batman doesn't really like do anything. He just has like a mech suit kind of thing. So I guess it's like an Iron Man-esque sort of sitch. But yeah, it was just whatever.
Nice. Give it a shot.
Not for me.
But I'm saying, was it like manga, like right to left?
No, it was normal.
It was released. It's like, okay.
Had a cool Dan Moore cover, though.
Nice. That'll sell some units.
It got me. I read Frankenstein, number 4, the Universal Monsters one.
Cool.
I never finished that one for some reason. And I was kind of, I just want to see how that ended, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I read Criminal, volume 2.
Nice.
It's called Lawless.
I saw it downstairs. I think, yeah.
Yeah. Very good. It's as good as the first one, I think.
Oh, wow.
So,
so far, so good. You think they're onto something with this criminal stuff?
Yeah, it might be something weird.
They might just make a TV show.
Has anyone heard about this?
When is that TV show coming out?
It says this year.
No, they're running out of time.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like shows get like advertising and they're like, it's coming out in 2 weeks, you know?
Just to see. Like, oh, yeah.
It's yeah, true. It could come out in December. I feel like there's always snow in the books.
That would be a vibe.
The second trade, this one I just read, is like low key like a Christmas book. But it's not a Christmas book until like the last issue.
And you're like, oh, it's like
suddenly snowing. They're talking about this heist the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then surprise, it's like they're robbing like a Christmas fundraiser thing. And all the money was going to go to charity, but not really because
it was corrupt charity.
Yeah, the person who runs it like skims a little off the top or whatever. And it's I was like, oh, is this a potential Christmas book?
I would be down.
It's really not.
Nah.
But it's really good. It's such a dad book, you know? Criminal.
I don't think so.
Criminal?
Even though I've never read it, I think you're wrong. But what makes a dad?
It's just like...
Because it's just like tough dudes with guns and they... But like it's gritty.
So the volume 2, it's called Lawless, right? That's the subtitle or whatever. Main character, Tracy Lawless.
All right, you've convinced me actually. Tracy Lawless? Hell yeah.
He's a ex-army vet or whatever. And he's going back to a life of crime. He's hunting down his brother's killer. And he's got to work his way into like a heist group or whatever, and it's a lot of talking, you know. And
this sounds like a pitch for a movie that you'd hear in a movie.
Kind of, yeah.
It's like Tracy Lawless is hunting down his brother's killer.
Yeah, exactly. That's and cool. I'm like reading it out loud to Lucas, because he's got a very refined taste.
Yeah.
You know.
You got to start him young.
Yeah.
To criminal.
This is Sean Phillips.
he's that dude. Him young. Yeah. He's that guy. You're going to want to, yeah.
But yeah, it's really good. I'm into those.
Cool.
I always like...
They live up to the hype.
I never like fucking want to read them, you know?
It's like...
I'm never like, let's get to this, you know? But like, I'm just like, I got nothing right now.
Yeah.
He's the only one that's like downstairs or whatever.
It seems like you really got to focus on characters and their personalities and their dynamics. And
you think that, but then there's only like 4 or 5.
That's good.
Important people.
Because I remember I tried reading the Hollywood one. I'm in Hollywood and I'm an actor. What was that one?
Bad Weekend, maybe? Or no. The Fade Out.
The Fade Out.
The Fade Out's impossible.
I was reading The Fade Out and I was like, is this all criminal?
There's like 30 people.
Yeah, that's what put me off of Criminal, I think, in the first place, because I liked the cover of The Fade Out better than the cover of Criminal. Because it was like a typewriter, but it was blood or something. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, and like there's like a page in the front that shows all the people and their faces.
Yeah, even the roster.
That's how you know you have a problem.
I was like, fuck, here we go.
You have to fucking like.
Yeah. Because they were doing that digital. I'm just like.
Because they refer to people.
Yeah, you know? I was reading it digitally, so I had to go.
You can set bookmarks, though.
Even still.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember reading the fade out. It was tough.
If I really lock in, I feel like it'd be awesome. But
I think I read it too long of a time span to where like I don't know if it really like hit me correctly or if I didn't really know ball. Cause I
definitely didn't know ball.
Because then when it ended, I'm like, you're kind of it's building up. Mm-hmm. You know, but then like it ends and I'm like, what? You know? I'm like, I think I'm missing something.
Yeah.
But anyway, good book. Good. I'm gonna go through those still.
That's cool.
Did you watch anything?
Yeah, I went and I saw Howl's Moving Castle in theaters.
Oh, nice.
It is awesome.
I didn't know they were doing that.
I think they go through all the Ghibli movies like once a month. Or like every month there's a different Ghibli movie at like AMC or something recently. And it was Howl's Moving Castle.
Dubs?
What?
Dub?
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's like that movie's whimsical as fuck.
I remember watching it a lot because it was always on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, and it's great. And yeah, you didn't know ball back then because I watched the shit now and I'm like, how did they do that? You know what I mean?
I didn't know like how.
I didn't know anything about animation. I didn't understand like logistics of animation like then, but now I'm like, this is just awesome. But soundtrack, incredible. They really like lock you into it super early on.
How long is that?
A little over 2 hours, I think.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot going on with that movie.
That's a good...
Christian Bale is like Howl.
Yeah.
And he's interesting in it. There's a part where he just sounds like Batman.
he's like the big feather guy.
He's like a big bird and he's like, oh, I'm a monster. But he like sounds... He puts on his Batman voice.
He's like, where are they?
Yeah. But there's a place in that movie called Secret Garden. Which is where this is the venue where I got married.
Yeah, cool.
And I was like, whoa, I didn't know that.
Was that the place where we were?
I was like, is that where they got the idea for the name?
This place in Phoenix?
I asked. But it was weird because we watched it before our wedding. And we were like, you know, let's just go watch a movie and it'll be fine. And then that happened. I was like, this is weird. Because also, when we had our dinner, we had to like come up with some bullshit playlist. And we put like a Howl's Moving Castle rendition, like a piano cover.
Yeah, me and Alyssa were like fucking brainstorming on that. She's like, it's either fucking Kiki's Delivery Service or Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah, like we had already put that together. Like, so I don't know. Good movie though. You should watch it.
Yeah, dude, I got a couple of those I gotta watch.
I still have a couple of them I need to watch, to be fair, too. I keep
seeing like Spirited Away on like people's like best movie of all time, and it's like not even weebs, you know?
Yeah, it's that one's a good. I still haven't watched that one either, which is like the one I feel like most people. It's like probably one of the more recognizable ones.
Yeah,
Princess Mononoke fucking rules too. So you should check that one out. What'd you watch?
Actually, I
just think it's funny that I watched like half of this and fell asleep to it. But Sophie really, really wanted to watch Wild Hogs.
Oh, good movie.
I couldn't tell you. I was like, there's no way it's William as good H. as Macy, you. Dude. Yeah, and Tim Allen.
It's fucking John Travolta in that.
Yeah. John Travolta, and then...
Is it Chris Rock?
No. Something Lawrence?
Martin Lawrence?
Martin Lawrence, yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
That's funny.
And she made me like pay money to rent it, and then she also fell asleep to it. So I watched like the first half of it, and I was like... This is more slapstick than I remember. But I was like, she just really wanted to watch that movie specifically.
I love that joke where like they're in the woods and William H. Macy's like, he like shit into a bag and he's like, oh, I'm going to tie this in a tree so bears don't eat it. He's like, don't tie it to a tree. He's like, yeah. Why not? He's like, because bears don't eat shit. I said, that's funny as fuck.
Yeah. I didn't even make it to that part of the movie.
Really? That's a good one. I feel like that's halfway through. I don't remember anything else about the plot or like the bad guy or how it ends, but
couldn't tell you either. Anyway, what'd you watch?
I watched The Hudsucker Proxy. Have you ever heard of that?
Nope.
I didn't think so. It's kind of a bad name, but it's I think it's the Coen Brothers like fourth movie or something. It's got like Tim Robbins in it. And it's this movie about this company where the CEO like kills himself. But it's like a very it's like a PG movie. It's like it's played out very like nonchalant.
Interesting.
And the CEO didn't have a will or anything, so all of his stocks would have gone to the public at a certain point. And so the board like hires Tim Robbins, who's just like kind of a goofy guy from the mailroom.
Yeah.
To kind of like
act like his son?
No, to just kind of like crash the stock so that they can just buy it up when it becomes available. It sounds kind of boring. Someone came over when we were watching, and Sarah's like, Daniel likes to watch boring movies. And I'm like, this is kind of interesting. But it's like, it's got like a fake New York where like everything is like practical sets, you know? And like there's like these huge rooms that are like really tall ceilings. And then like, I guess they reused this set on like Batman and Robin and like Batman Forever and stuff. So like the way it looks very Tim Burton-y.
Yeah.
You know, the settings and stuff. And
wait, so they reused it was because they built the Batman and Robin one for that movie, I thought.
No, they used
this
the Hudsucker Proxy sets.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it's got like Paul Newman in it. I don't know if you know Paul Newman.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good in it. I give it 3.5 stars. So I'd seen this before. And I think a social studies teacher showed it to us.
Why?
And the whole time I was trying to figure that out.
Why she would show it to you?
I think it was maybe like example of capitalism.
Do you remember which social studies teacher?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Remember that sophomore year one that was like the softball coach?
She pretty chill.
It was a dude.
We didn't have the same one then.
Oh, okay. I can like picture the classroom for some reason. But I'm like, I just don't know why they showed it as this. But
he's probably just like a cinephile. And he's like,
I'm like, maybe they just know ball and he's trying to put us on, you know?
I think so. You would do that if you were a teacher.
Hell yeah, dude.
You'd be like in some sort of English class and put on fucking Whiplash or something.
All right, this is Moneyball.
yeah, pretty much. You're like teaching economics and you put out Moneyball.
No, statistics. Yeah.
Statistics, yeah.
That's like the only statistics movie.
Yeah, true.
All right, watching Moneyball again.
All right, stats. We're going to watch 21.
Everyone shut up. And the bell goes off. Like, everyone sit down.
It's not done yet.
I watched Karate Kid Legends.
The new one?
Yeah.
Cool.
No.
Didn't land?
It was so fucking boring, really? Dude. Oh, this movie sucks.
Jackie Chan, Daniel.
I give it 2.5 stars.
Wash on and then you wash it off.
No, in that one, it's like, put the jacket on, put the jacket off, or whatever. Remember?
That's the Jaden Smith one?
Yeah. Jaden Smith wasn't in this. He should have been. Would have gotten an extra 0.5 star if somehow he got back in this.
I liked him in that movie.
Yeah.
When I didn't know what Karate Kid was.
Yeah. It was super rushed. It's like 1.5 hours.
Oh, right? Wow.
And they're like, weren't even trying to make it seem like they weren't just reusing the same formula.
Yeah.
You know, new kid in school. There's a bully. Bully's mean and he's a part of the evil dojo.
Bully beats him up. And then when he's beat up, he's like, I need to learn how to fight. And then he goes to a guy.
Then there's a tournament.
Oh, there's a tournament.
Where they rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who wins? The bully.
Karate Kid.
Yeah.
When he starts training, is he doing some sort of menial task and he doesn't understand how it's supposed to help him get better at karate?
No, because he knows. So this kid's from China, right? Mm-hmm. And he grew up being chained by Jackie Chan.
Oh, okay. But
he knew like kung fu, you know.
That's a good start,
right? So he knew that like Jackie Chan could be trained by him.
Got it.
Then Jackie Chan goes to Danny Russo. Russo, the Russo.
I don't know.
He goes to him He flies to California. He's like, hey, I need your help training this kid
in China
in karate. No, he goes to New York first because he moves in. The kid moves to New York.
Okay, got it.
So Jack Chan goes from China to New York. Next day, goes to California.
That sounds exhausting.
Flies back.
Ugh.
Yeah, and then they link karate kind of in like a week, and because it's a karate tournament.
Yeah.
So he has like a fighting, like background.
Got it.
So it wasn't anything like dumb that he like didn't understand.
Got it. Was the Karate Kid good? Because didn't they put out like a open audition for like?
No, it's the kid from American Born Chinese.
What?
American Born Chinese, the kid that's in that the show.
I thought they were looking for like a nobody.
He's not necessarily somebody. I don't know his name.
Mm. Okay.
Maybe they did for the bad guy or something.
Interesting.
But anyway, not a fan. Sarah put it on. She watched like all of like Cobra Kai, you know, so maybe there's something in here for her.
Yeah.
She said it was cute. Because
those were popular.
Yeah.
Cobra Kai, so.
Yeah.
Remember that started as like a YouTube original?
Yeah.
So weird.
And then went to Netflix or something?
And then it went to Netflix.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, good for them.
And then I watched Friendship.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max now, isn't it?
Exactly.
Oh, God, it's been on my radar.
Yeah, I've added it to the list, Nathan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So then I will watch it.
I gave it 4 stars on, like, the initial watch, you know?
It's a good rating.
Yeah. It's definitely one of the, like, funnier movies I've seen in a while, it feels like.
Nice.
Just because, like, I don't know if I've watched, like, a lot of new comedies, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's really... You like Tim Robinson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, like, I Think You Should Leave. I haven't really seen his other stuff too much, but...
Yeah, I watched a bit of Detroiters, and it's pretty good. But if you like Tim Robinson, you like this, because
It's just that.
It's someone writing for Tim Robinson, mm-hmm. you know, with him in mind, for sure. It's a lot of, like, cringe comedy, but...
Paul Rudd's, like... the best at that, I think, so.
Yeah, I don't even think he's like kind of on the other end of it, I guess. He's kind of like reacting to
it,
which is interesting. But I thought it was so good. I thought about it like all week.
Cool. You know? Did you watch it with Sarah?
Yeah.
Did she like it?
Yeah, we were both laughing. Like,
okay, good.
It's not like as... It's not like the Naked Gun. You know,
I know.
Comedy is definitely like different, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just the nature of all of his stuff. It's like it gets like weird.
Yeah.
But like, it's not slapstick.
There was some like, uncomfortable like moments. Yeah. You know? Like, I just want to get through this, you know? But then looking back, I'm like, oh, that's so good. You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, good stuff.
Cool.
Big fan.
Very nice.
But what are we reading next week, Nathan?
Back Matter.
Another horror book.
Kinda.
I forget which ones we have on the list.
Well, next week we're doing Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, new Frankenstein movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
The GDT.
GDT comes out in theaters August 17th and then on Netflix November 7th. So we're getting it in.
Okay, cool.
For the before the theater release.
That's cool. Are we doing the new one?
We have options.
Okay.
So there's the Universal Monsters Frankenstein by Michael Walsh. I think he writes and draws.
Yeah.
Is that.
That sounds cool.
You know the Frankenstein story? You know, the OG book was written by a lady named Mary Shelley, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually like a sequel that someone wrote. It's a sequel to that book. Maybe Mary Shelley wrote the sequel. I'm not sure. But there's a comic adaptation of that sequel. It's called Alive Alive.
I never heard of that.
And also, Nathan, Frankenstein is part of the Hellboy universe.
Uh-huh.
If you can believe it. It's called Frankenstein Underground.
Ooh.
It's written by Mignola, no art done by him, though.
Who drew it?
Let me check.
Are you talking about Man Alive? No, Frankenstein Alive Alive.
Yeah.
Wait, Bernie Wrightson's on this?
Who is that?
Oh my God, you don't know ball.
Ben Stenbeck did Frankenstein Underground.
If Bernie Wrightson does all of this Frankenstein Alive Alive, you're going to want to read that.
How do you know him from? Where do you know him from?
Some of the most insane comic art I've ever seen has been stuff by him, but I just see like random pages. But every time I see, like, just look up on like Twitter or something, like Bernie Wrightson.
I actually recognize his face for some reason.
His like art knocks me on my ass most of the time I see it randomly on like Twitter. And I think he's done a couple things.
Oh, dude. Steve Niles is the writer on this.
Yeah, we know him.
We know him very well.
Did you do the last thing?
Yeah.
What was the last thing? Oh, 3 days of night.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Whoa. Maybe we shouldn't do it then to have two Steve Niles things.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed 30 Days of Night.
Dude, so. He did like Swamp Thing back in the day. I want to download a
sample and see. Yeah, I think Bernie Wrightson did some.
Some heavy metal, dude. Dude knows ball. Batman the Cult. Did he do that?
Who?
Bernie Wrightson? Yeah, he did.
Oh, I've heard that's good.
With Jim Starlin?
Yeah, this is what I want to do.
Alive?
Yeah. I don't. Well, unless...
Does it look dense?
It's 80 pages.
Oh, that's not bad.
But like, look at this, dude.
That's pretty kick-ass.
That's like, that's me zooming in on a fucking page. But if there's like, there's a page I remember of a guy that looks like this. I didn't know if it was Frankenstein at the time. But he's in a shed, and he's like doing like some weird pose like this. And the light is like shining on him, but because he draws just black and white, it's just like negative space that has texture for some reason because of the context of the stuff around it. And like, there's a bunch of like blades of grass and shit. It was like so detailed. And I just remember it so vividly. So if it's in this book, it'll like kind of scratch an itch in my brain.
I don't want to do it.
Well, then I'll read it on my fucking own.
I'm just kidding. No, that's fine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, dude, I was like looking into this. I'm like, what the fuck should we do? You know, and I like, there's a fuck ton of Frankenstein books for some reason.
Yeah, there's also
mostly
the,
just adaptations of the OG book.
There's,
you know,
that one Frankenstein book we did, the DC one, Agents of Shade.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that one too.
Is it on Comixology or no?
Yeah.
Like Unlimited?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's nice too. But just so I know, what was the Mike Mignola one? Who did the art on that one?
I forgot already.
Ben Stenbeck?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with him, so fuck him. We'll do this other one.
Okay. I did not think you were going to pick that one. That's cool.
Yeah, I just know that name, and I know that he rocks, so.
Yeah, so I think this is like a sequel of the OG book.
Okay. I don't know how the OG book...
Neither do I. Maybe that's an issue.
Also, isn't it like Frankenstein's monster? Not to be that guy.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm cool with that. Sick. Sweet. I'm glad that'll work. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Yep.
We got a link tree in our bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. Send us an email. What you know about Frankenstein?
Yeah. What's the Frankenstein ball?
You know any Frankenstein books or something?
We could revisit this next year, potentially.
Oh, yeah. Because The Bride comes out?
Dude, yeah, that's right.
Did you see that trailer?
No.
It looks fucking dope.
Does it? That's cool.
I'm more excited about that than this one.
You're such an ally for women.
Yeah, dude. But it's like The Bride and then Frankenstein, but it's like a Bonnie and Clyde kind of story.
Oh, no, I didn't.
They're like on the run and shit.
That's cool.
It's sick.
Yeah.
Anyway, email on traitorspod@gmail.com.
Later.
Bye.